report, actually early this morning. I noticed that you're involved in a lot of different things, like the president's role and the Olmstead Act and other things. And initially I thought, well, is Carlos getting involved in too many things? But then you said something that reinforced the importance of being involved in other things.
Yeah.
You become aware of things that you don't know. Like you said, well, you were talking about the Social Security thing, that you're working on that as president. And it reminded me, there is a lot of value when you have supervisors and staff involved in serving a body. And the value is we learn ourselves. We share with other states or other entities our expertise, what we're doing right, but it also comes back to us. So I see a lot of value in doing that. So I hope we do more of it, because I was thinking about myself. I get involved in some other stuff like silk.
Yeah.
And it helped me understand blindness and some things. So there is a lot of value when we kind of get out there and network with others and serve.
And networking is a key for a lot of connections and finding different opportunities for our clients.
And I see a lot more of that in the last couple. And I'd like to see more, because we have a lot to offer others. But that doesn't mean, if we want to stay on top, we need to kind of learn from other people too. So that's my one comment. And the other one is, I was thinking about when you talked about the center, and prerequisites, or I wonder if we used to have more prerequisites because we had a waiting list to go through the center.
Right, that was part of that program.
And I'm wondering, now that we might want to loosen those standards up, and I see the sooner we get people in the center, the better.
Yes.
And anything that we can do to get them into the center, it frees up our staff to do other things. And it doesn't give them the chance to think, well, I know these few things, I don't need more. So,
That was part of that. There were some situations in which clients came and they didn't know how to prepare a meal or even find the door to go out. And that was tough. But having less students, the staff at the center have more time to do those things too.
Mm-hmm. So I think anything we can do to get more people in there quicker, and that'll transform their lives quicker and forward too. So I wish every client that we had went through the center, but that's not possible.
Right.
But we certainly want to fill the doors to that place and make a difference. So that's all I got.
I do have a question. For the letter that you sent out for the assistant secretary, does that affect Nebraska or is it national?
Well, it's national, and because we have federal buildings here, we don't want it to affect us in the future. So it does affect us too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then regarding the Social Security changing of their blind requirements, did that decrease, meaning less people were accepted as blind?
I think that's why it was brought up to our attention, that less people were considered blind and they were not referred to agencies for the blind, for services.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yep.
I have a couple questions for you, Carlos,
sure.
Just because I'm curious. The first question is all the staff working in the office now, or are some of them still working remotely at home, And my second question is, thinking about the center and all the staff there, since there are so few students there, what do they do with their time exactly?
Yeah. The first one, the answer to your first question, I'm sorry, I was thinking about the second question. Ask me again your first question.
She was she wanted to know is...
My first question is are all the staff members working in the office now, or are some of them still remote?
We changed our policy, and if it's justifiable, we can allow them to work from home, as long as they're being productive. And that's mainly for administrative staff, but we offer that to everybody. The North Platte District, including also, and part of the Lincoln District, the Norfolk office, they work from, shouldn't say from home, they don't have an office, they go out on the field, but they have their office at home. So we're talking about all the North Platte District, plus the two staff members in Norfolk. And then in administration, we have all the business office except Brandy working from home, but they all come to the office once per week. And Julie also works from home. And then about the center, we talk about that a lot. They are not as busy as they should, but they are not busy as it seems, because we only have two clients maybe, but keep in mind we have four staff trainees. We were short of the shop center and also short of the apartment resource person. He just completed his training. Like you saw, we had Jessica going and with training to complete her leadership training. Shane also to Louisiana. So those were taking, we took the advantage of those free times so they could do those things there. But yeah, they are not as much as they should. But again, we had an average of 5 people getting training there, 5 to 6 people, including the staff trainees. So in a sense, work out, because when we had 6 clients per se, and then we had an extra 4 staff trainees, then either we focus so much on staff trainees and the students are not getting the training they need to have, or vice versa. So this time, the staff trainees got good attention. Okay. Any other question?
I would just like to say, Carlos, first of all, in regards to what you were just talking about, I love that we have people who are, because of them not having quite so many students in the orientation center, that they're going out and getting experience from other people so that way they can bring that back here and make the training even better for our center clients. I also wanted to say one thing about the HR part of your report that you gave. I kind of have mixed feelings on it. On the one hand, I love that we're getting all this new blood and new experiences and new ideas and everything that I think is just going to, rejuvenate us as an agency and really help us to move things along into a bigger and better future. On the other hand, I also am sad to see all these people go who have been with us for so long. I mean, Nancy, we live it, love you, 41 years for crying out loud. That's a hell of a lot of experience that we're just going to lose. Same with Connie. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, 25 years as the Lincoln District Supervisor, that's a lot to lose. But at the same time, she's also got all that experience that she's going to take that and use to help other people too. So I love that too, but it's just... Oh, I know. I'm not saying we're losing you entirely. It's just as, the district supervisor, And
the big skill.
Yeah, it's great to see all these new people, but at the same time, also kind of sad to see all these people that have been staples since, I first got involved with the commission back before when it was SVI, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's sad to see them go. So that's really all I have to say.
Thank you.
Linda's question brought a thought to my mind I hadn't thought about. With more people working from home, whatever works. Do we have problems logistically? We want to use state cars. Are we spending more time trying to people waiting on cars? Do we need more cars? we want people out, serving people and not, managing resources all the time. Have you thought about that at all? Do we have enough state cars?
Well, as we hire people, we already talk about requesting more cars because we used to have more cars and we sent some back because the state requires us to have a number of miles being used. So we already evaluated that and we're going to be requesting more cars. But it's not because of people working from home, it's more because we're hiring more people now.
I just want to see the people doing the work and not doing all the jockeying and stuff. I think if we can do it.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Thank you very much, Carlos.
Thank you.
The next thing on the agenda is the newsline update, and Kathy already said that she would be happy to read the report to us from the newsline coordinator. So, Kathy?
This is the report that our newsline coordinator, Kimberly Sherbarth, sent out. NFB Newsline currently has... do I need the microphone? Yeah. NFB Newsline currently has 2,170 subscribers, of which 7 are new this past quarter. There were 27 new publications added to the Newsline during 2022. Some titles include CNBC, Breaking News Online, Navajo Times, Royal Gazette, Times News, and Mashable. Trainings are planned for state Newsline coordinators, hopefully starting this month. Newsline will have a table set up at the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention, which will be held during March 2023. No other updates at this time. She also did send a spreadsheet listing the NFB Newsline stats for 2022. And those will be posted on our with the minutes.
Okay. Next thing we have on the agenda is the Client Assistance Program, or CAP. Do we have any updates on that, Carlos?
No complaints at all. Okay. Or issues.
Okay, now we're on to new business. The first thing on there is the discussion regarding scheduling and orientation training for the new commissioner. I know Jim has already touched on the kind of the historical aspects of that. In the past, usually when we have new commissioners come on, we like to have some period of time for part of the day or a good part of the day where we have kind of an orientation for them. So they have a better idea of what's expected of them and what duties, responsibilities there might be, that sort of thing. I know, Mark, you've done some trainings and stuff like that, set that up. Is there anything you want to add to that? Or?
Well, what we've learned about COVID is sometimes there's a reason for going through stuff. And When we had COVID, there was a difficulty getting us together for orientation. And then also we heard that more people wanted to be involved or hear what was going on. And that evolved into, if you have a retreat somewhere, how can people participate? And I guess that because of COVID and that we decided to do it virtually, and probably the real unique, nice thing that happened was we had a lot of old commissioners participate and be able to, give their insight, which I thought was great. And also, we were fortunate to, like Carlos was able to be there because it was from the comfort of his home and just some other things. So, When you meet in person, you get that bonding time. You get to know each other as a personal thing. But at a retreat setting, you're really not making any decisions. So there's really nothing, you know, that, I mean, it's important. It's just a great way to kind of discuss our business and for new commissioners to gain insight. So I've done it both ways. I've done the in-person. I really like that. I've done it virtually, and I like that. Since you're chair, you get to lead it this time.
Of course.
Yeah. But I don't know if we want to do it virtually or do it in person. It's cheaper virtually, definitely. Less of commissioner's time when we do it virtually. We've got a couple ex-commissioners here. I don't know what their thoughts might be, but I don't know. Jim, I hear you clearing your voice.
If you want a thought, I'll give you a thought.
All right. Well,
I know it's not public comment, Brent, but...
That's fine. That's fine.
I got a big mouth, I'll shout. I've never been a big fan of virtual because I believe that society has accepted virtual as kind of I'm just not a big fan of it. It's an easy out for a lot of folks. I understand the convenience, but if you're going to do it, I would suggest in person because you don't bond in the virtual.
Barbara,
yeah.
Barbara, what's your thoughts? You were able to participate virtually.
My thought goes back to the public meeting laws and the stipulations of those. I know that there haven't been any votes taken or anything like that. And I also think that although there is something to be said for people getting to know each other to some degree, I also think that when you're serving on boards like this one, it's not a social entity. The idea isn't necessarily to become a cohesive entity. The idea is to bring to bear your the people you represent, if you do represent specific people, and so I guess I don't really the public meeting laws are pretty clear about expectations and about why those expectations are, some of which have to do with people becoming, instead of becoming an entity that brings to bear what needs to be done, needs to be changed, needs to be really wrestled out, that sometimes we human beings, if we know each other too well, we think about, oh, well, I know that somebody doesn't like this or isn't a fan of that, so I just won't bring that up, or I just won't, I don't want to rock the boat. So we want to become a more or less cohesive entity that where we all think alike or expect the same things or whatever. I'm not a dissension for dissension's sake person by any means, but I do think that the role of a person on the Board of Commissioners is one of reaching, pushing the envelope, asking the tough questions, expecting more all the time, and I don't know if I think that the getting together to talk about the expectations, because I know the longer this entity has been around, the more history there is, and so And thinking that somebody will just, you know, take a flash drive or whatever you guys do now and will just absorb all that and be, you know, a sponge or whatever isn't real likely. There are some things that might need to be fleshed out or whatever. And so I don't have a problem with an informational meeting to do that from time to time. But I'm not a fan, because I think that the intent of the public meeting law being the way it is to have people not become a gang of good old whoever's, you know, just sort of rubber stamping whatever because nobody wants to make waves. And I think that that can happen if people get, you know, real into that kind of thing. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just my caveat, I guess, about that. I think that the things that have happened where the public wasn't invited, didn't even necessarily know it was happening, or if did, you know, with the, all of that, I can't see how that would really fly under the public meeting law. So, I sure don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but I think also, too, if you're on a board, you ought to be able to separate business from pleasure.
Yeah.
You should be able to. And you may be right about the good old boy network, but given the, and I know it could change down the road, but given the current makeup we have now, I don't see that happening.
Well, I guess
everything we do sets precedence for everything we'll do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having done it both ways, I'm as a board member, I try not to talk, you know, any specifics with other board members, you know, because, and you know, that's just our role is to bring our perspective and our constituency that we know to the meeting. I personally like having, like, Carlos. You know, the one thing that I liked is when we had it, you know, virtually, you know, Carlos was there. And I think Kat's been there before. Carol was there because she was a past board member, but she was also the deputy director. And so to me, the main purpose should be to give the new commissioner kind of a history and just, you know, learn from the past and just kind of get to know you better, you get to know us, and, you know, not talk about specifics. Can we have we were able to justify the virtual meetings or retreat because of COVID. Can we do that now because of we're not under that ability? Carlos, can you answer that?
Yeah, the new law says I think 50% are allowed.
Yeah.
Is that right, Carlos?
Yeah. Yes.
So it was easier when we were under COVID.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate on whether or not it will be open to the public. The real question is it in person, or is it to make it easier for everybody and to allow for even more people to attend to have it virtual? I mean, I see benefits to either way. The real question is you know, how do we as a board want to go about this?
What are the thoughts of the new commissioner?
Not to put you on the spot, but we're putting you on the spot.
I mean, it's hard because there's good comments for each thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what is the most beneficial. You guys who have gone through it, I mean, it's more beneficial to have it in person or, you know, virtually. I mean, you're already in the commission. I mean, when you were doing the training, was it
right,
beneficial for you to see each other in, you know, or
is more beneficial to be virtual. I don't know.
I guess it's, you know, also the inclusion, you know, more inclusive. But I don't, Barbara, you didn't have, did you have meetings,
orientation?
Did you have orientation?
No.
Yeah. And I can see why there was good reason to do it. Maybe the evolution maybe is we've evolved to where we're at.
Brent?
Yes.
Can I open my big mouth for a minute?
Oh, by all means, yeah.
Well, I know that last year was Cheryl's and my first year on the commission board, and Cheryl had worked at the commission and knew a lot. I didn't even grow up in Nebraska. I came here as a, 48-year-old adult, and so, I wasn't a client ever or anything, and I found the training helpful, and I was fine with doing it virtually, partially because it wasn't any time on the road for me, and I didn't have to find a driver and all that, stuff. But I found it helpful because there were a lot of things that I just plain didn't know, even from reading through the documents. So, that's my two cents.
I kind of hear it is valuable. It's just
a
matter.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's just a matter of which way you want to do it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I think, as Linda has said, I think having an orientation for new commissioners is certainly valuable, and even though I worked for the commission for a number of years, there are still things that I don't know, and I'm always learning as time goes on. I think, just in my opinion, and I understand the reasoning behind a virtual training, because you can have more people take part because they don't have to worry about traveling and finding drivers and all that kind of stuff. But I think there is something that is a little more, what word do I want to use? There's just something about a meeting face-to-face that I think that you don't have with a virtual meeting. I mean, yes, you can get together on Zoom and you can talk and all that, and a lot of us have done it for a long time, and it works okay. But I think there's just something that's a little more
human.
Yeah, there's the word that I might want to use. Yeah, about an in-person meeting. And I realize that if people want to attend, yes, drivers are an issue and all that kind of thing. I'm sure those kinds of things can be worked out. But I think I would, in just my humble opinion, I think I would want to opt more for an in-person meeting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fine.
Is that a motion in a second?
Well, I can make a motion that we have an in-person orientation training for the new commissioner following all of the rules, public meeting laws and all those kinds of things, but just have a public meeting sometime somewhere for the orientation training for the new commissioner.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second
it. Okay. Okay. So we'll just do a roll call.
Can I do a discussion roll call?
Of course, by all means.
I would support this with the understanding that we're not making a decision that's going to be law in the future. Like the next time there needs to be orientation that we decide based on the timing and the makeup of the board what we should do that time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. That's the point.
It does to me too.
Yeah. So Miguel,
yes,
okay. Art?
Yes.
I'll say yes to that as well. And Cheryl?
Yes.
And Linda?
Yes.
Okay, so it's unanimous. We're going to meet in person. Now we just need to pick a date.
And location.
Obviously, we'll need time to, get everything in order. Do we want to look at March or April? Definitely, I'm assuming we're going to want to get this done before the next meeting.
I would say so, yeah.
So, anyone got a calendar in front of them?
Yep.
I reserve April 15th for ACB and state convention.
Okay, so we'll try to keep that. We'll definitely want to get the avoid either state conventions.
Yeah, the end of March won't work well.
Won't work well for us.
For Linda and me, so.
So are we looking at
maybe April sometime, other than the 15th?
And Easter.
And Easter, yeah.
It's nice to remember that.
Well,
how about March 18th?
Easter is the 9th.
Easter is the 9th.
Yep.
March
18th. You like March
18th? Yeah, there's time.
March 18th?
Before Japan. Everyone good for that?
Because April will be gone.
Hang on a second. Yeah. March 18th is a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that might be our Lincoln Chapter Committee meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So I would rather not do March 18th.
Well, we could do.
And March 11th is the
25th.
April 22nd is, I mean, it'd be after the ACB one. And it's after, and it's the only thing I'm seeing on my calendar that is this Earth Day.
Oh, yay.
That's also, you'll be NCSAB conventions that week.
How about April 2nd?
That's a Sunday. April 1st would be a Saturday.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day.
I'm all about it.
Well, but would it work?
As far as I know.
We'll just put a disclaimer before we start.
This is no joke.
Yeah, maybe it's time to make that day serious.
Be a joke on me, right?
Yeah.
Is there April 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
Yep.
So, is it going to be in Lincoln?
Yeah, that's the next question. Where?
Kearney.
Kearney? It was suggested by someone out there.
Great hotels, great restaurants. It's a hopping town.
It's,
And it's halfway in there, so, you know, everyone's got to travel the same distance, pretty much.
It's hard to say if we can find a room or a hotel or that someone to accommodate us that short of notice in April. I can't guarantee it. I can check it. But.
And there's a cost component.
Yeah.
It takes me 2 hours to get there, so.
I would be okay with Kearney if we could arrange
a place. Mm-hmm. Do we want to set a backup in case we can't?
How's that going to work for people who want to come, though, that aren't a member of the commission board?
Yeah.
Like any other commission board.
Now, are we going to be in Kearney in the next month, too?
Columbus.
Oh, Columbus.
Actually, that's fine.
There's no issue cost. This isn't a justifiable expense.
You're right.
This is Nancy.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just was wondering if you might want to toss out that just for logistics, a second location, because it's also the peak
we are.
Season.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
I guess I should have been listening and not talking.
No. What was your rationale, though?
It's been a peak season for the cranes.
Oh.
And so there's always a very limited number of hotel rooms and that type of thing.
I've been wanting to see him, though.
Maybe you've been hiding.
Oh, thank you. That's a good point.
Can I ask a question, even though it's not... I don't know. You know, you guys were talking about, like, transportation, all that good stuff. Why couldn't you do it the Friday before your Saturday May meet?
Mm. That's certainly a possibility.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's a long time for Miguel to wait to know what his duties are. Are you good with that, Miguel?
Well, the
Well, the other thing is for me is that I would have to travel a day before that, and that would be a little bit difficult to travel on a day for like on Thursday.
Well, would we need a whole day? I mean, could we do
in the afternoon?
I mean, it'd be abbreviated, probably, I'm sure, but that's certainly.
Well, it wasn't that long when we did the virtual.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends on how robust an agenda we need to have.
Right.
Well, remember, 2 days is Carlos's evaluation.
Right.
Right.
Well, we could do it, I guess, that Friday, and I could come Thursday. Because, I mean, it wouldn't be half day, because I get here at 7 o'clock. So, it couldn't be a half day. So, I mean, if I would come Friday, it wouldn't be a half day. It would be, you know, I get here at 7 o'clock. So.
Right.
Where do you come from, Miguel?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I could come Friday, or I mean Thursday, and be here Friday for that. But I mean, I don't know if you guys are available Friday, though, for training.
Right. Well, I mean, it's far enough out that I'm sure we would be able to, you know, put in our requests for work and whatnot, so that
shouldn't
be that big of a
deal. Well, that's up to you guys. I mean, it's fine for me.
When Dad... You know, we've had this discussion when we have meetings on Friday in July. Would that inhibit public from coming?
Yeah.
I think people want to be there, they'll be there.
Yeah.
It's true.
So what day is
that,
Friday?
The 5th.
May 5th.
Okay. I need to check with the hotel, though, to make sure they have a meeting room and rooms for that day.
Outside of the box.
Yeah.
You guys
got to
travel anyway, so.
It works for me.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, now we know the agenda.
It wasn't my suggestion.
You guys have been in cahoots, haven't you?
No, not exactly.
I'm joking, for the record.
You know.
No, I guess my question would be is, there's something that I need to do, or
just show up.
Well, no, for me, like she was saying about being prepared for that May meeting.
That, I mean, it's like any other meeting for the most part, except for the fact that we step aside for a while and do an evaluation on Carlos. So that's really all there is.
Oh, okay.
It's not that difficult.
Okay.
Yeah, especially since he does such a good job.
I might send the document ahead of time so you can. Yeah.
Yep.
And as far as the orientation, you're lucky you don't have to prepare reading.
Yep. All you got to do is show up.
Yeah.
Okay. I would just. Yeah. She mentioned it, so that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
And in between time, any questions you have, Miguel, about like reporting for DM and all that, you can always reach out to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're glad to help you.
So, we're good on May 5th in Columbus?
Depending on if we can find...
If we can, yeah.
Yeah, depending.
So, do we want an alternate then? Just to be safe, as far as location or anything?
Well, we'd have to pick a different date.
Yeah. I mean, we could always go back to that April 1st for the alternate.
Yeah.
But we'd still need location.
I would say the alternate...
Yeah, it's not that far away from Columbus.
Yeah.
And we can always just have it in here. Presuming it's available.
Yeah.
What, in April or in May?
I mean, it would probably be easier just to have it on the same day if we're going to do that, don't you think?
So are we talking April 1st for the alternate, like we had talked about having it April 1st the first time? So would our alternate date be April 1st?
It could be, or we could just keep it on the same day and just have the location here in Lincoln instead of Columbus.
Or make it a long day on that Saturday.
Right.
In Columbus.
Okay, so we'd be still doing it on the 5th of May, but if we couldn't get a room at Columbus, we'd have it here in Lincoln on May 5th. Is that...
That would probably be the easiest way to do it.
Well, if the meeting's on the 6th, we're going to be traveling to Columbus on the 5th, too.
Yeah.
But they were talking about moving the meeting on the 6th back to here.
No, I don't think they were.
I thought that's what you said.
No. I was talking about just having the training here in Lincoln. And as far as what you said, Kathy, I think it's probably not going to be like an all-day thing, I would imagine. So we could, after that's over, we could just head up to Columbus. At least that's my thought on it, and obviously open to whatever.
And keep some dates locked in.
Thoughts, motions?
I don't know, we've had a couple different discussions. I'm kind of simple. I don't want to get overwhelmed. I kind of like the idea of having them just completely separate. You know, instead of, you know, doing Friday, Saturday or something. I get it, but
so then if we do that, then we're going back to
April 1st
probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
if not in Kearney, then probably...
Yeah, the backup would be here.
Yeah. Is that a motion?
April 1st in Lincoln.
Well, okay. Yeah, I guess all we got to do is say that the same motion passed. We just need
right.
to make sure that if we can't get Kearney, it comes to
Lincoln.
So
yeah.
You're running April 1st in Kearney?
Yeah, and if it's not available, it'll be Lincoln.
Right.
Is there a second to his motion?
I didn't hear the motion.
So what he's saying is that we would do April 1st in Kearney, if available. And if not Kearney, then we would just relocate it to here in Lincoln.
On April 1st.
On April 1st.
I'll second it, I guess.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. We'll just do a roll call. Miguel?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
I'm a yes. So Cheryl?
Yes.
And Linda?
Yes.
Okay. Unanimous.
I'm having a hard time getting exact wording, so I'm going to depend on Kathy this time. Cause
she'll make it simple.
Yep.
Well, she's got the recording, and I didn't hear it all, so.
That's okay.
I'm failing as executive secretary.
No, you just need to worry more about who made the motion and who seconded it.
Okay.
Last thing we have is public comment. Do we have any public comment?
Yeah.
Okay, Jim?
I can't keep my mouth shut.